Our scripture reading tonight is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. As we come to our passage tonight, we want to remind ourselves of its context. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul had charged the Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit. And he went on to say that those filled with the Spirit have certain characteristics. They are singing people, thankful people, and submissive people. And after mentioning submission in verse 21, Paul proceeds to give three examples of submission. Now, we've already looked at the first, and that was wives submitting to husbands. Tonight, we're going to look at the second, children submitting to parents, and next time, we'll look at the third, servants submitting to masters. In each of these relationships, proper submission is both a fruit and a sign of the work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Now, children, you know that sometimes I speak directly to you at certain points in the sermon, like I'm doing right now, Abigail. I do that to try to give you some help in understanding what the sermon is about so that you can learn from the Bible and help apply it in your life. Now, most of the time, my comments to you are rather brief, and most of the sermon is aimed more directly at the adults. And of course, you should still listen and follow along as best as you can, but I understand you're never going to understand everything in the sermons. But tonight is different. Tonight, I'm going to address most of the sermon directly to you. And I'm going to ask the adults to listen in and follow along, but I'm going to be speaking mostly to you children tonight, and that's because this passage of Scripture is very specifically addressed to children. Now, there's some things at the end for the adults, and I'm going to deal with them too, but this sermon is primarily for you children this evening, and I want you to listen closely because there's very important things that God wants you children and young people to learn from these verses. And we're going to consider three of them, three lessons that God has for you in this passage. And the first is this: the Bible is written for you. Children, the Bible is written for you. The Bible is a big book. It has many parts. It's not all easy to understand. Some of you may not even be old enough to read it for yourself. And that might lead you to think that the Bible is a book that's just for adults, like your parents. But if you think that way, you'd be wrong. Now, this is my 24th sermon in the book of Ephesians. And we call it the book of Ephesians, but Ephesians was originally a letter. How does a letter usually begin? If we write a letter, we usually say, you know, for a letter to grandma, we say, "Dear Grandma," right? And we address the letter to the person we're writing to. Well, in the first verse of his letter, Paul says he is writing to the saints who are in Ephesus. And the saints are the believers in the church. So if he were writing this letter to us today, he'd start, "Dear saints at Covenant Presbyterian Church." And then he'd have to get a stamp for the envelope and he'd mail the letter to us. Now, do you think that Paul's letter would only be for the adults in the church? No. Most of the letter is for everybody, and some parts of it are aimed for specific people. And our passage today begins, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And the word Paul uses for children here refers to children of all ages. And in context, he probably seems to have in mind those who are still living at home with their parents. So if that describes you, this part of the letter is written directly to you. This is part of the Bible. And God wants you to know that the Bible is written for you children as well as for adults. And we know that the Bible is the most important book in the world. It's the only book that God has given to teach us about himself and how we can relate to him. So you need the Bible to know what to believe and how to live. Now, have you ever been outside on a night when it was pitch black and you couldn't see anything? What do you need to get around on a night like that? A flashlight would help. A flashlight would be a very good thing. Well, the Bible is God's word, and in Psalms, we have a prayer to God that says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And the Bible helps us find our way in life like a flashlight can help us find our way on a dark night. And without the Bible as your light, you will stumble through life like someone lost in the dark. So if the Bible is written for you and you need it to know how to live, what should your attitude towards the Bible be? I'm going to tell you three things that all begin with L. Okay? Three L's for you relating to the Bible. And the first is to love it. To love the Bible. This is God's book for you. It's a very special book. It's a book that you should love, that you should treasure. So you love it, but also learn from it. Now, if you're very young, this may mean listening to Bible stories as they're read to you by your parents each day or during your Sunday school class. If you're older, you'll be able to read the Bible for yourself. No matter what your age, you'll be able to memorize Bible verses. You may do that with your family. You may do that for your Sunday school class. And if you're so young that you're still learning to read, one of the great motivations to read is when you learn to read, you're going to be able to read the Bible for yourself. So we love the Bible, we learn from the Bible, and the third thing is to live by it, to live by it. The Bible has many things to teach us, but it includes many commands telling us how we're to live for the Lord. And when we come across a command, our desire should be to obey it. Because God knows what is best for us, and He is ready to help us to obey Him. So three things about the Bible and your relation to it. Love it, learn from it, and live by it. Now, I want all you children to repeat after me. The Bible was written for me.
Bible was written for me.
Very good. That is the first message for you from this passage tonight. But here's the second one. God wants you to worship Him. Now, we said Ephesians was originally a letter written from Paul to the Christians in Ephesus. And there was probably only one copy of this letter that was sent to the church. Each member of the church didn't receive their own letter. And they didn't have copy machines back then to copy the letters and hand it out. So how did they all learn what it was that Paul wrote to them? Well, Paul's letter was read as part of the church's worship service. And when the pastor got to reading the part of the letter we're looking at today, he read it to those who were gathered for worship. And he read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, if the pastor read these words for children, and if he read it during the worship service, where were the children? They were right there in the worship service, weren't they? They were there worshiping God along with the adults. And God wants you children to join the adults in worshiping Him here each Lord's Day. And that's why we welcome all of the children to be part of the congregation. That's why we don't mind the occasional noise or cry of some of the littlest ones. And it's why we don't send you children out in the middle of the service to do something else, but keep you here. Children's church is everybody church here. And we have one service, and you are a part of it. We want you here because God wants you here. It is your privilege and your duty to worship the Lord. So what does this mean for you during the worship services? Well, several things. You should try hard to pay attention and to follow along. And this isn't always easy. It's not always easy for adults. Worship can be hard work, but as you work at it week by week, it'll get easier for you and you'll understand more of what's going on. Secondly, you should participate in every way that you can. And there's many ways in which you participate in the worship service. You can learn the Lord's Prayer. So you pray it with everyone else. You probably already do that. You learn the songs that we sing regularly, like the doxology and the Gloria Patri. You learn the creed so you can join in with others in singing and speaking in worship. And of course, when you can read, you should be able to read and sing everything in the service, just like all of the adults do. So you want to participate in the worship service every way that you can. And then thirdly, listen to the sermon. Now, God wants me as a pastor to teach everyone the Bible when I preach, and that includes you children. Now, you're not going to understand it all, but you want to try to listen closely, pay attention, and learn as much as you can from the preaching of God's Word. And again, if you do this week after week, month after month, year after year, you will learn a lot from God's Word. So, all you children, again, I want you to repeat this after me. God wants me to worship Him.
God wants me to worship Him.
That's a very great privilege. Now, that's the second message. The third is this. You show that you love Jesus by obeying your parents. You probably knew that was coming, didn't you? That's the main point of this Bible verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And here, God, in His Word, gives a specific command to children. And He does this because He loves you. This is part of that light that He provides so that you don't stumble around in darkness in life. What does God want you to do? Well, one thing that you know that He wants you to do is to obey your parents. Is that always easy? Is it always easy to obey your daddy or your mommy? No, it's not. It's not always easy. Sometimes your parents tell you things you don't want to hear. You may have decided that right now you want to play your favorite game, and you've just gone to the closet and you've gotten the game out and you've opened it up and you've started to take the pieces out, and your mom comes in and says, "No, it's time to clean your room. Put the game away and clean your room." Now, cleaning your room does not sound nearly as much fun as playing the game, does it? But what should you do? Well, God tells you, obey your mother. But God doesn't just tell you to obey your parents, though that would be enough. If God commands it, we need to obey. But He actually gives reasons why you should do so. First of all, He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Well, what does it mean to obey in the Lord? Well, it means one of the ways that you show your love for Jesus is by obeying your parents. The Lord placed you in your family. If you disobey your parents, you're really disobeying Jesus. And if you love Jesus, if you love what He's done for you, one of the ways that you show that is by obeying your parents. You also show up by worshiping Him, as we've said before. But He is the one who tells you to obey your parents. And God gives you another reason when He says, this is right. Are you to obey your parents only when you feel like it? No. You don't obey because you feel like it. You obey because God says it is the right thing to do. And it's not always easy to do what is right, as we've said. It's not always fun to do what is right. You may want to stay up late at night, but if your parents say it's time to go to bed, the right thing to do is to obey your parents by going to bed. And another challenge is found in another one of Paul's letters. You should obey without complaining about it. Paul says in Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. And you know what that means? It means no grumbling, no talking back, no rolling your eyes. But God also gives you another reason to obey your parents. You are to obey them because you love Jesus. You are to obey them because it is right. And thirdly, you are also to obey them because God promises to bless you for doing so. Listen to the next verses. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Do you want things to go well for you? Do you want to live a long and happy life? Of course you do. Everyone wants to. Who wants to be sad and miserable all the time? Well, God promises to bless you in these ways if you obey your parents. Now, that doesn't mean you're never going to have hard times if you're obedient, but it tells us that the way things generally work in God's world is that children who obey their parents receive many blessings from the Lord. And so, children, you have a command, obey your parents. And three reasons to do so: because you love Jesus, because it's right, and because God promises to bless you for obeying. And I'd encourage you to try to remember these reasons. When your parents tell you to do something, remind yourself that you need to obey them because you love Jesus, and because it's the right thing to do, and because you can expect blessing to come in your life as you are obedient to them. If you keep these things in mind, it might make obeying a little bit easier. And so, children, one more time, I'd like you to repeat something else after me. I show I love Jesus by obeying my parents.
I show I love Jesus
Very good. Now, children, I want you to keep listening, but I'm going to say a few things to the adults, and especially to the parents that are here. Because the next point is that parents have great responsibilities. Just as Paul gave instructions to husbands after telling wives to submit to them, he gives instruction to parents after telling children to obey them. Verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Now, parents, you no doubt love those verses about children obeying you. They're ones that we sometimes find ourselves quoting. It's very convenient to do that. And God has given us as parents great authority over our children, but God also gives specific guidelines for the application of that authority. And Paul specifically addresses fathers here because fathers exercise spiritual headship in the home. They're ultimately the ones responsible for the discipline, nurture, and training that goes on there. But the same principles apply to mothers as well, as they exercise authority over the children in submission to their husbands and or as single parents. Children are to obey both mothers and fathers, and both mothers and fathers must exercise authority properly. But fathers are shown to have the supreme authority in the home, and fathers, you must not abandon your responsibility to lead in the discipline and nurture of your children. It may be true that you may come home from work tired and worn out. It may be true that your wife spends more time with the children. But if that is the case, the fact that you have less time with your children actually heightens your responsibility to make the most of that time as you exercise godly leadership. And we have two basic guidelines for parents here. The first is this: don't provoke your children to wrath. Just as the wife's submission to the husband was not an excuse for tyranny on his part, so children's obedience to parents is not an excuse for parental tyranny or abuse. A father's or a mother's authority over their children must be exercised consistently and lovingly. Now, not provoking your children to wrath doesn't mean your children will never get angry with you. That probably is going to happen. That's inevitable with discipline, and discipline must not be neglected. But it does mean that you don't unnecessarily bring out their anger. John Stott helpfully explains it this way. He writes, "Parents can easily misuse their authority either by making irritating or unreasonable demands, which make no allowances for the inexperience and immaturity of children, or by harshness and cruelty at one extreme, or by favoritism and overindulgence at the other, or by humiliating or suppressing them, or by those two vindictive weapons, sarcasm and ridicule. These are some of the parental attitudes which provoke resentment and anger in children." So fathers and mothers, don't let anger, harshness, cruelty, or ridicule be the hallmarks of the exercise of your authority over your children. God says, don't provoke your children to wrath. And the second guideline is, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This word training refers broadly to education and nurture of children, while admonition speaks more specifically to verbal instruction and training. And the point is that all that is done in the raising of children is to be of the Lord. It is to be Christ-centered. Commentator P.T. O'Brien notes, "Paul wants Christian fathers to be gentle, patient educators of their children, whose chief weapon is Christian instruction focused on loyalty to Christ as Lord." Because ultimately, that's what we want our children to embrace, isn't it? We want them to be disciples of the Lord Jesus. We want them to grow up being loyal to Him. So fathers and mothers, don't abandon your responsibility here. Don't think you've met these requirements just by bringing your children to Sunday school and to the worship service, or even by sending them to a Christian school. You have a responsibility to create a Christ-centered home life in which you raise children to know, love, and serve the Lord. And you have precious few years to raise your children. And so you must take every opportunity you can to nurture them in the things of the Lord. If you're not regularly leading a time of family worship, of daily family worship, you can start that this week. And if you do, I encourage you, keep it short and simple. Short and simple is good, but consistency in family worship should be a priority. If you're not exercising any oversight over the media to which your children are exposed, to their books, magazines, music, movies, internet use, then perhaps you need to sacrifice some time and get to know these things so you can guide your children to make Christ-honoring choices. If you're not taking time regularly to talk about the children and pray for them with your spouse, then perhaps that needs to become a greater priority. Andrew Murray wrote, "There should be set times when father and mother join in reading and conversation and prayer on the training of their children. 1 half hour a week set apart for this purpose, if it were only for 1 year, would bring a rich reward." He doesn't set the bar too high, does he? Half an hour a week, just do it for 1 year? But that could bring a rich reward, Murray says. Be prayerful and be proactive in bringing up your children in the training and admonition of the Lord. All of us, as parents, can do better in this regard. And we must seek to do better for the sake of our children. Parents clearly have great responsibilities as the ones to whom their children submit. And so, children, I want to review the three messages for you from this text one more time. So I want you to repeat each one of these after me again, okay? The Bible is written for me. God wants me to worship Him.
God wants me to worship Him.
I show I love Jesus by obeying my parents.
I show I love Jesus by obeying my parents.
And we know this is not always easy, but not only does God call you to obey your parents, He promises to bless you as you do so. So you can pray that the Lord would help you to be more obedient. And parents, remember that you also have responsibilities to discipline your children without provoking them to wrath, and to raise your children in the training and admonition of the Lord. Raising children for the Lord may be one of the toughest assignments on planet Earth, and it is also one of the most important. So parents, pray that the Lord will equip you and empower you to faithfulness as you raise your children. God's plan is that children willingly obey and that parents lovingly lead. When both children and parents are submissive to the Lord's calling, the Christian home will flourish. May the Lord be pleased to cause the households of Covenant Presbyterian Church to flourish for Him for generations to come.